Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I am joined by Christina tonight.
Hello!
Kim is still catching up to us, so we are here recording part two.
Yes, she has given us her blessing to keep going on this journey for you guys.
To keep trekking through.
Yes, so we can finish up the journey.
Oh my God.
We're so excited.
Well, first of all, spoilers for the entire Fourth Wing book.
Yes.
And we left off part one episode right after threshing, and Violet has two dragons.
Our girl Vi, just killing it with the dragons.
Our girl Vi, she's got a ginormous black dragon named Taryn.
Oh, Taryn.
And then she's got sweet little itty bitty Goldie.
Another one. I love it. Yeah, we really laid all the groundwork in episode one, and I feel like all the good, juicy, crazy stuff is going to be in part two tonight in this episode. Yeah.
There's so much. So let's dive in.
Let's dive in. Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. We're diving. We're doing it.
So we left off. She bonded to two dragons.
Yeah. And then it was like, and then the world went to shit. And then everything went crazy.
Everyone was like, oh my God, no one bonds to two dragons. Like, who is this tiny little slip of a thing? Also, it's like, she's a motherfucking Sorengale, which I feel like that name holds a lot of weight in the dragon writers. Yeah. But yet everybody's like, who? Violet?
And everyone was like, no way. It was literally as if no one ever heard of her before. Or also as if her two siblings were the most like elite dragon riders in history. And they're like what? This nobody? Who's she to have two dragons? Like, yes, she is frail, but like, come on.
Yes,
let's give the girl a little credit here.
Okay, so she comes back after giving like the names of the dragons, and
And then the council comes and they're like, what are we gonna do?
What are we gonna do?
Is she gonna be able to have this is when Taryn says to her, like, stay with the wing leader. And she's like, huh? Do you mean with who? And surely he didn't mean wing leader. And
it's like, was this not a surreal moment?
Oh my God.
Stay with the High Lord.
It's such a surreal moment. I think I texted you, I was like, if this is not a surreal moment, I don't know what
it is. It is. It's a stay with the High Lord moment, and like, just listen to the dragon, please.
And she even is like, huh? And he's like, just do it.
Just do it, Silver One.
Yeah. Okay. So they're like, sure, you can keep both. And she's like, yeah, okay. And then is this when we get like one of the first terrible Dane moments?
Oh my God, Dane.
Right, because he runs straight to her and he's like, what happened? How could this possibly have happened? As if he just can't believe that she could possibly have two dragons.
Yeah.
Because like, again, no one has faith in this girl that she could possibly have something cool happen to her. And then he starts telling her that she should choose Andarna because this is when the council's meeting. And she's like, I'm not choosing. And then he's like, even if you take Andarna into combat, there's only a chance you'll be killed. You take Tarn and Zayden will get you killed. It's like, whoa. Why are you doing this to her? She has these two amazing dragons and all you do is run in and tell her what she has to do with them.
No.
And tell her to take Andarna, who, one, is a child. And two,
is a child.
And two, you're telling her to take the dragon that can't go into combat. Because again, you're trying to put her in a cage and not accept that she's a writer is what's happening.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what's happening. He's like, it's like that quote that, okay, there's a quote from a book, a fantasy series that we love, so I don't give a spoiler.
I'm trying so hard not to give a spoiler.
But there is a quote that we all love from a fantasy series that is very well beloved. And the main female character says something along the lines of like, too much love can be a poison. And it's almost like Dane is smothering her.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks he's protecting her, but what he's doing is just not trusting her and her ability.
He is the first love interest in that book that we're not saying out loud. And if everyone knows that, they know.
Everyone knows, you know.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So then Violet to this is like, wait, what are you saying? Why would Zayden get me killed? What does this have to do with Zayden? What are you talking about? And then Dane, reveals to us all and her that they're a mated pair.
Yes.
Taryn and Sigale.
Taryn and
Sigale. And she's like, what? Oh no. Mated pairs? That they can't be separated.
Oh, no.
What does this mean for me and Zayden? And we're all like, yay!
Yeah,
this means such good things for you and Zayden! I love this for you! It's so good. Okay, and then he's like, just tell me how it happened. And then she's like telling him all these terrible things about Jack and Orin and Tyrnion, whatever his name is, and how they're gonna kill a dragon and all these things. And all he can say is, oh, so Zayden was there?
He's such a fucktwad. Like, I can't.
And she's like, yeah, he was. And then he goes, Zayden was there when you defended Andarna and Taryn just showed up. And then she goes, what are you getting at? And then he goes, don't you see what happened? What Zayden's done? And then please do tell me what it is you think I've done. Oh. A shape emerges from the shadows.
Zayden has entered the chat.
A shape emerges from the shadows. It's so good.
It's like
this. She has done all these great things, and she's gotten two dragons. And all Dane can focus on
is the wrong thing. That Zayden just happened to show up. Why? Why did he show up? Because Andarna is a child, and Sigael showed up to check on Andarna, and then was like, "Oh shit, I can't fight this battle.
Tarn.
So I'm gonna call my mate Tarn and be like, "Hey, come protect the dragon baby."
Yeah.
Before she gets herself killed.
Yeah. Well, and Zayden says that. He says, "Did I see her outnumbered and already wounded? Did I think her bravery was admirable as it was fucking reckless?"
I love it. Ooh. I love that she goes, she's like, "I would do it again." And he's like, fuck aware. He's like, "Yeah, I'm very much aware of the fact that you would put yourself in danger at every turn."
Noted.
But here's the difference. Zayden doesn't stop her. Zayden's like,
No.
Dane is like, "I'm going to lock you in a cage. I'm going to lock you in the library with all of your books."
Which, you know, to some of us, it sounds nice. But here in this moment, we're like, "No, not the library. Take me to the dragons." Okay. But then this is good because he's saying the thing that we just said. He goes, "Did I see her fight off three bigger cadets?" His glare pivots to Dane because the answer to all of those is yes. But you're asking the wrong question, Atos. What you should be asking is if Sigael saw it too. And then Dane's like, "Oh, right. Use common sense. That's what happened. The dragons are mated and they talk to each other." And he just goes like, "Fuck," Dane mutters. Like, why are you so upset about this? Why does this matter to you? She has two dragons and she's great and she fought off three bigger cadets. End of story. She's a badass. Like, Okay. This is then, though. Is this when he asks Dane?
So this is when he goes, then he's like, "Out of curiosity, would you have, let's say, bent those rules to save your precious little Violet in that field?" And then she remembers that Zayden had taken a step as if he was going to help her. And that's when Tarn flew in.
Yes.
So then, of course, because I feel like Violet knows the answer in her heart, but she doesn't want Dane to answer. So she's like, "That's unfair to ask him."
Oh my God. This was so annoying to me. I was like, "I know. Violet, are you kidding me?
Don't be a little bitch. Like, come on." And so then Zayden's like, "I'm ordering you to answer, squad leader." It's like, pull rank.
Yes.
Dane swallows, his eyes slamming shut. "No, I wouldn't have. Shit. Does this remind us also of that very well loved?
Of that if you know, you know.
Where
lead.
Somebody does jack fuck all.
To help other people.
I
was so livid at this. And if there was any sort of like, you know, "I don't want her to be with him, but he doesn't have bad intentions." Nope. Zero. Gone. Gone from this moment. I was like, you would have let her die?
Yeah.
You would have stood there and let three jackasses murder your beloved little fragile flower as well as a dragon? Like, I can't.
It was so infuriating. It's like, also, like, you're willing to, like, sneak her out to go live in the scribe, but you can't jump in and actually save her life when it counts, dude?
Where were the rules then, Dane?
Like, what are you...
Where were the rules then when you were like...
This makes no sense.
In the mending office. And you were like, "Let's sneak her out the back. Lord. I'll cause a distraction. Don't heal her." Well, isn't that against the codex that you love so much?
Yeah.
That you fuck Amber on top of? God. Okay.
Okay.
Whew. We'll get to Amber. Anyways, we'll get there.
Yeah. So after that lovely argument, Dane kisses her.
It's after that.
He's so annoying. Because she's all, "This is uncomfortable. Like, you said you wouldn't save me when it counted."
And let me die.
And then he's like trying to backtrack. He's like, "You know I would have done anything to keep you safe." And then she's like, I know. You want me safe." And then in her brain, she goes, "You do anything except break the rules." And then it's like he's kissing her. And I'm like, dude, you literally just said that you would let her die. And you're like, "Yeah, now's the moment."
You know what?
Now's the moment.
This is the perfect time. I feel
She'll
the energy.
Forget I'm an asshole.
I'm reading the room. I'm going to fix all the bad things with this like slappy bad kiss. I bet he's the worst kisser.
Oh, he's a terrible kisser. Like, he has no game.
And she confirms it.
Yeah. No, she's like, "I feel nothing."
Neither do we, Violet. Neither do we.
She was like, "It was everything I've ever wanted, except shit. I don't want it anymore." It's like exactly...
Honestly, that's great.
I was like, yeah, that's because we have Zayden.
I'm happy that that happened with enough time for us to be like, yeah, okay, we're officially all on the same page that we don't like Dane. Yeah. No one's confused anymore. Now let's go into Zayden, the Zayden chapter, with open hearts and open minds.
I love that, like, five pages, like, in the, right early in the next chapter, like, Dane catches her, I don't know, in between class or something, and he's just like, hey, so, like, yeah, you know how, like, we kissed? So, like, just FYI, like, nothing more can happen because it's, like, against the rules. Oh, go figure.
Surprise.
She's, like, very relieved. And she's right. Like, oh, okay. But then she realizes that he wants more to happen. But, like, he's not going to allow it. And she's like, oh, so you actually thought that was good.
Because liked it that wasn't. Because, don't agree.
He's like, we're not on the same page, but I'm so glad that the rules right now are getting in the way.
But thanks, rules. Also, like, him being like, I have to let you down easy. You know, I'm so sorry, Violet. I just know that you've been awake all night, every night, thinking about that kiss. But vomit. I have to let you down easy. It's the rules. Like, okay. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Enough, Dane. Let's get to Zayden. What's next?
Yeah, moving on. Okay, so...
Okay, well, the next interesting plot thing that I
think... Oh, the intins... Is it the intinsic?
The mind reader guy, yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Intrinsic? It's not intrinsic.
It's not... I thought it was intrinsic and there's no R.
Yeah, me too. It's not.
It's intinsic.
Intinsic. It's the mind reader signet. Yeah, okay. Which is different from Dane's because Dane has to touch people.
Dane can see memories.
Yes.
If he touches you. But this right. dude can, like, just absorb everybody's...
Just look at you and, like, read your thoughts. Yeah. Like, what you're thinking.
Which I understand now why, because of the ending, like, why they kill him. I mean, I don't agree with it. But they kill him because it's like, oh, shit, he might learn our secrets.
Anyone's. Like, oh, my God. It's actually such a crazy moment the way she writes it, right? Because they're in the, like, quad... area,
the
right?
Quad.
And they're just, like, mm-hmm. kind of there. And then all of a sudden, this poor kid is, like, grabbing his head, and he's like, no, no. Like, he's, like, too loud and too much because his yeah. signet just popped in. Like, he just got it, and he's getting everyone's thoughts. He doesn't know how to control it. And he's yeah. like, I can't control it. I don't know what to do. And Zayden looks at her, and he's like, why aren't you shielding? Shield right now if you have any secret. Do it. Do it. And she's and she's like, think about other things. And she's like, facts. Let me recite facts
she's
in my brain.
Let me recite facts.
Yeah, I'm good at that. I can do that. And then Professor Carr, who we haven't really met yet, but he's like, once your signet comes in, you get to go to his class. It's like you've been like yeah. upgraded to his, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me upgrade you.
To this signet class. And he just casually strolls over and says nothing and snaps his neck. Like, that to me was one of the more violent deaths because I just wasn't expecting it. The other
it
ones,
was
I'm like,
brutal.
We're on the gauntlet. We're with the dragons. This was like, I did not think he was just going to do this to this student.
No, he just like walked up and there was no like preamble.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, this was one of the more shocking ones to me. I was like, oh, all right, we are... I get it. The violence just not letting us forget that we're in a dire situation.
Yeah.
Not letting us rest. So this was very telling. And it sticks with her because later when she gets her signet, she says to Zayden, she's like, are they going to kill me too?
And he's yeah,
like,
she's really worried about it.
And it's so cute. He's like, wait. And he grabs her face like, why would you think that? Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, they killed that mind reader boy. And he's like, no, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to okay. kill you. You're fine.
But I would feel that too. I'd be like, what if there are other signets that all of a sudden they're going to snap your neck? I don't yeah. know the rules. Neither did this boy, or he wouldn't have been shouting that he was a mind reader.
He wouldn't have been shouting.
He would have kept that shit locked down, you know? Okay.
Okay.
All right, what's next?
Yeah, okay, so the next thing that happens is the attack in the bedroom, the bedchamber.
This is one of my favorite moments.
So once you've, like, you know, gotten your dragon and you've, like, graduated, sort of, through threshing, they all get their own rooms.
Yes.
So there are first years who didn't get a dragon. And I guess there's, like, danger, you know, that you could be... Because I guess if you kill a first year that has a dragon, then that dragon no longer has a rider. So then maybe yeah. the other first year can, like, somebody can go steal your dragon, basically.
Yes.
Because you're
and
dead.
A lot of people are like, oh, that dragon will think I'm worthy, that I'm more worthy than their current rider if I kill their rider. Like, oh, I must
Which
be
Which is
better.
Always fascinating to me because I feel like as a dragon, I'd be like, I don't want you. You just killed somebody. Like, you killed somebody who you should be working as a team with.
Yes. Also, I didn't pick
you. I think most of the first year is just repeat first year and hope to, like, get a dragon.
Like Sawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Like Sawyer. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So she's in bed. She's having a nightmare. And all of a sudden she gets this, like, you know, thought that, like, breaks through her. And it's like, wake up, wake up. And it's Tarn yelling because he senses people coming into her room.
Wait, he literally says, wake before you die.
And she, like, wakes up and, like, turns just in time before, like, the dagger or whatever the fuck it is goes to stab her.
They're all surrounding her. Like, all, like, six of
them. They're all surrounding her. And she, like, jumps out of bed and she notes that somebody leaves the room.
Was this surprising to you who that was? Were you surprised?
Well, okay. So it wasn't that I was surprised. I just couldn't remember Amber's name.
Agreed. I wasn't surprised that it was her.
Yeah.
I was surprised... only because I didn't remember her that she wasn't like, she didn't stand out to me as a big character anyway.
Even though she, like, screwed Dane and, like, she was annoying at the gauntlet with, like, don't quote the codex. Like, I remember her, but I also was like, you're nobody, who cares?
Yes. So it was shocking to me that it was her. But then again, when that reveal happened, I was like, well, I mean, duh, of course she sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So Amber lets them in.
So Amber lets them in and then she sneaks out. We don't know her name yet. All we know is that, like, Violet saw somebody that shocked
her.
Sees her and she's shocked that this person let them into her room. And that's, like, Oren and, like, some other first years, and they start to, like, I mean, she's not going to win a battle against six people.
She tries. She tries
and
her,
like,
little heart
out. And, like, Tarn is like, he's on his way. He's coming. And you're like, who's coming? Who's coming?
It's Zayden. Zayden's coming. When he says he's almost there, I was like, oh, he's alerted Zayden. He's coming. Like, he's coming. My God, I was so excited.
So then Andarna. Oh my God.
Yes.
This was so cool.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, we learn in a little bit that, you know, Andarna is a baby dragon. Like, she's a toddler.
A baby.
Basically, a little hatchling.
At some point, she's like, I'm two. I'm a big kid. Like, she's like, so cute.
She's so cute.
She's legit a toddler.
So she basically, all hatchlings, all feather tails have a gift. And they can give it away, but once it's given away, it's gone.
Well,
or something.
I don't think it's given away.
I think it's, it says most feathertail gifts disappear with maturity when they begin to channel.
Okay.
So I think all feathertails have a unique little gift that they can give.
And hers is time. Which,
yes.
Handy, 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 Andarna.
Yeah. So the reason feathertails aren't generally allowed to bond is because they can accidentally gift their powers to humans. Dragons can't channel, not really, until we're big. This is Andarna talking.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're all born with something special. So she can't channel magic, which is why I think when she gifts it, when she allows Violet to use it, which is why it drains her so much.
Exactly. Like, I don't think she gives it away like it's gone, but when she gives it away, it depletes, like, all of her energy. She sleeps for,
exactly,
like, a week. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, which just breaks my heart. This sweet little baby.
It's, like, so sweet. And she's like, I can't hold it much longer. Quick. And she's
God.
So cute. And, like, can you, like, everything just freezes in the room and Violet's like,
But also when she's about to, when she's doing it, because they're freaking assholes in a room are like, do it. And then they're like, Oren goes, your dragon is mine. They're like about to kill her.
Yeah.
And then Andarna screams, mine. Like, as in,
I,
like,
love that.
She's hers. It's so sweet.
I love it. It's so,
okay,
sweet.
Yeah. So when she screams, okay, mine, she freezes time.
She freezes time.
Everything's frozen.
Yeah.
Except for Violet.
Like, even, like, little legit clock stops.
Yes, everything stops. And Zayden slams in at right when everything freezes.
I love it. It's like Zayden fills the doorway like some kind of dark avenging angel, the messenger of the queen of the gods. And it's like, he is fully dressed, his face a mask of veritable rage, as shadows curl from the walls on either side of him, hanging in midair. Like, I can
see
them curling around him and, like, the rage, like radiating off of him.
That image is so good.
And then Tarn just goes, it's about damn time. And then Zayden's like, you're all fucking dead. I'm like,
oh,
get him.
This line, I think I immediately screenshotted that to you and I was like, oh, this is it. It's the you touch her and you die moment, and it's from Zayden in the shadows and I can't handle it. It's so
good. I love
good.
It. So then,
okay, yeah. So then Oren is like, We're just correcting a mistake, Oren says. And Zayden goes, dragons don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And then his shadows grab all of them butt Oren by the throat.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him standing there staring at Oren, and his shadows just go, you can't see my hands, but through the room, and they grab and all just grab five each, of the rest of them and pull them up to the wall and like choke them to death.
Yes.
And Oren's just, he's just standing there staring at Oren with a scary
and
stare.
Then like Oren's like, okay, dude, let me explain.
Yeah.
I love this. Zayden's like, I've heard everything I need to hear. And then he goes, Zayden's fingers curled around the hilt of his dagger. She should have killed you in the field, but she's merciful. That's not a flaw I possess. Like,
oh, Zayden!
And then he doesn't even, there's no like preamble, and he just slits Oren's throat.
Just kills,
kills him.
I was happy with that.
And then Garrick walks in the room with Zayden's cousin.
Oh, yeah, with
and
Bodhi.
he's like, oh, damn it, Zayden. No time for questioning. And he's like, no need for it. Clean this shit up.
So good. And then, yeah, Bodhi's like, let me guess, we're on cleanup. And he's like, yep, call in help if you need it. Got it. Let's go. Like,
let's go.
Pulls Violet out. Oh, God, it's so good. And then this is when he's like, kind of starts taking care of her.
Yeah, he's like checking her out. And he's like, you're breathing like crap. Oh, my God, it's so good.
And then it goes, his gaze shifts to my throat and narrows at what I imagine has to be the purple imprint of a hand. I should have killed him slower.
Oh.
And then she goes, I'm fine. I'm not. His focus snaps back to my eyes. Never lie to me.
Never
lie to
me.
He says it with such
me.
Ferocity. And then she goes, it hurts. I admit. He goes, let me see. And he's like helping her. It's so freaking sweet.
Oh my God.
And then,
is this one he like, he goes to like help her, and she's like, because she has her dragon armor on and it's kind of like a corset. And she's like, well, you're going to have to. And she's like pointing to like the ties.
Yeah.
This line, he just goes, I know how to handle a corset. And I just, the way this line had me in a chokehold, I was like, oh,
agreed.
Say it again.
We had, and
say
she just built this scene so beautifully. He came in, he was like, you're all dead in the shadows. And he's like, I know how to handle a corset. It was like, oh God, oh God.
I'm telling you, the sexual tension in this book is chef's kiss.
Chef's
kiss. So good. So anyways, so he's like checking her out. You know, he says all this stuff. He's like checking her to make sure she's okay. And I love how she has this line. It's so funny. They're walking down the hallway. And she's like, you know, can't you hide us in your shadows or something? Because, like, they're, you know, kind of sneaking around. And he's like, yeah, because a black cloud walking down the hallway isn't noticeable. And she's like, okay, point taken. And she says something like, in her brain, she's like, not that we're a couple. And he goes, and she's like, not that I wouldn't climb a man like a tree if presented with the right set of circumstances. I was like, girl,
Us two, girl. We're with ya. Couldn't be more with ya.
Okay, so then we have the meeting with Sigale and Darna and Taryn, and we learn that because Taryn and Sigale are a mated pair, that means that Violet can also hear Sigale's thoughts. Like, Sigale and her can talk to each other.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Like, all three. So basically, all five of them. Well, at this point, we don't know that Zayden and Violet can talk to each other. That comes out later.
But I think in this moment, we do notice, it's a reveal that Zayden can talk to Taryn, too. So, like,
yes.
Zayden can talk to Taryn. She can talk to Sigale.
Yes.
And really, ultimately, we find out later that they can talk to each other.
Yeah.
So it's just like, everybody's mates.
Happy and mates.
We're all pseudo mates. We can all mind speak, and I am here for it. I loved this use of the mind speak because it was so effective and helpful to be able to have all of them in communication at one time without it being like, it just made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was a great tool throughout the whole plot, them all being able to talk to each other.
No, I loved the way that was done.
It was great.
Oh, also, this is just a little Easter egg. I don't know if this is going to come up in book two.
Oh, tell me.
But there's a line that Dane's father, Colonel Atos, says to Violet about Violet's father. And it's about how her father was doing research on like some uprising. And he mentioned feather tails, but that specific research paper is missing.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And so he asks, I don't know when this happens. It's on page 392. I don't know exactly where that is and like what's happening. I think it might be during the ball.
It's right after. Sorry, I remember. They're walking up to the flight field, Zayden and Violet.
That's right. Actually, and they run into.
This is actually, yes, which pause right here. This is just a quick little moment. This is right after he like tries to sneak her out from class. He tries to take her from class. And Dane's like, excuse me, I'm actually not comfortable with her not skipping class because she needs to learn how to use her channel, whatever. And he's like, oh, God damn it. All right, Violet, show him how you can move this pocket watch. And she's like, okay, and moves it. He's like, okay, great. Point proven. fuck you, Dane, I'm taking her out of class. And it's so good. Okay, but then he takes her to the flight field, and they pass by her mom coming, like, down the stairs from the flight field.
God, her mom is such a bitch.
Oh, she's so mean to her here. It's sad.
It's so awful.
And she's just trying so hard for approval and trying to get anything out of her.
And it's important because it's kind of, it's like Zayden sees how her mother treats her.
Exactly.
Which I think is important for Zayden's kind of character development.
With her, yeah. Exactly. But yes, okay, back to all what right. he said. Colonel Atos tells her when they're walking up the steps, though.
Yeah, so what he says is basically, like, he's asking if Violet remembers her father mentioning Feathertales, because there's not a lot of known facts about Feathertales. And they ask if, like, at some point also later on, he's like, hey, do you think, like, Andarna will let us study her, like, as in do research on her, because there's not a lot known about Feathertales. And Violet's like, she's pretty private. I don't think so, dude.
Absolutely like, yeah, okay, not.
Yeah, okay, let's, yeah, absolutely not. We're not going to be a test subject. Okay. So Colonel Atos is just like, hey, do you know, and I'm kind of wondering if there's a lot more.
He says
more.
Here, I have it. He's like, the Crovlin Uprising, and he mentions something about Feathertales, but we can't seem to find that tome. And then Mom looks at me with expectation as though to ask me without really asking. I don't believe he finished his research on that particular historical event before he died. I couldn't even tell you where his notes are. Very interesting. Wait. I couldn't even tell you where his notes are. The words are as true as I can make them. I know exactly where his notes are. In the one location he spent the majority of his after-hours time. But there's something about Taryn's warning that makes me simply unable to tell them.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting. And then her mom just says, too bad. Glad to see you're alive, Cadet Sorengale. Even if the company you're forced to keep is more than questionable.
Oh, fuck
you.
Fuck
God,
off.
She's the worst. Okay, but that's very interesting. So she knows where it is, and I think that's going to come up.
I think so too.
Sleuthing, Anna. Okay. Good job.
Okay, so the next thing that happens that's, like, big, obviously, is Zayden's like, tell me who you saw leave the room. And she's like, okay, I don't know if you're going to believe me. And he's like, tell me. And of course he believes her because it's Zayden, and he's amazing, and we love him.
Because he's amazing.
And so there's, like, a big, you know, thing held in the quadrant the next morning, and everyone's like, what's going on?
This was so dramatic, and I loved it.
So we'll keep this part short so we can move on. But basically, Amber gets called up and they accuse Amber. You know, they are like, hey, you tried to get a cadet killed. Like, it's a big no-no in the Codex. And Amber, hello, Queen of Codex.
Hello, Amber.
I know. And Dane is like, no way. Like, it's so frustrating that he doesn't believe her. And then the asshole tries to touch her to steal her thoughts and memories without her permission. And she's like, no, you can't touch me. And she's like, she realizes, I think this is like her big aha moment that, like,
it's like the turning
point.
Oh
my God, this is why I didn't tell you, because you wouldn't believe me if I did. Zayden believed me, my, like, supposed arch nemesis.
Exactly.
I did feel really bad for her dragon, because her dragon had to watch her get, like, smited.
It's really rough. And then they're like, it's our law, your sentence will be carried out by fire. And Amber's like, no, Claudia, like, screaming for her dragon. It's really rough. And then Violet's begging, and she's like, please don't, like, give her a chance. And then this is really important. Taryn says, I let someone live once, and he almost killed you last night, Silver One. Taryn says, then, as if this is all that really matters in the end, justice is not always merciful. And then Amber, like, is, like, whimpering her dragon's name, and then Taryn just burns her right up.
Burns her, smites her.
Burns her right up. Anyways, so that happens. That was rough. I don't feel bad for her. I feel bad for a dragon. That's the only being I feel bad for.
I do. That's exactly. I feel bad for the dragon. Okay? Let's get that clear. Okay, so now Zayden's all like, okay, well, I can't sleep in your room every night and, like, protect you, so I'm gonna assign you one of my, like, cadre to watch over you.
Cadre. One of my bros.
And here's Liam. He's a really nice dude.
Liam's the best.
I love Liam.
Me too.
I love him so much. Did you text me when we were reading this? Did you text me and you were like, if Liam fucking dies?
Yep, I did. Because I was like, I know we're killing somebody, and I know it's going to be someone we care about, and I don't think it's going to be Rhiannon.
No.
I think it's going to be Liam, and I'm going to be so
upset. It had to be like one of the sons of the traitors.
First, I thought it was going to be Riddick, and then I was like, okay, I'd be fine with Riddick. I would be sad. But don't you touch Liam.
Had to, like, be so careful. You were, like, talking about... It's so funny because, like, I had multiple people texting me who were reading the book. And every single person was like, Liam better not fucking die. And I was like, I didn't know how to respond.
You're like,
you know, because it's like...
No, I think you were just like, Liam's the best. And commented Love Liam. On what he said.
Meanwhile, I'm dying inside. Like, his death was so awful.
His sister has it across the parapet. Oh, God.
I'm just like, anyways.
Oh, okay. God. Okay, okay.
Okay, so Liam's our sweet angel boy. Literally, we love
him. He's just the best. He's such a great character. Like, she uses him so well. He's like, really brings her out. He helps her take away her, like, ingrained prejudice against anyone with a relic tattoo because that she's was really understanding. Really key.
They go to the archives, and this was, like, a really important conversation because there's obviously a lot that we're learning is being taught that is, or that Violet is taught growing up about the uprising that is not true. And we're all kind of getting to, like, you know, glimpses of, like, maybe not everything is as it appears. And Liam is really key in this because he, you know, tells her that, like, siblings were separated, that we were sent to live with foster families. And she's like, I didn't know that. Like, I thought you got to go live with, like, your own family, or I didn't, why are they separating families? And she also starts to learn, like, Liam says multiple times, I owe Zayden everything. Like, Zayden is protected all of us. And there's only 107 children of traitors left.
Zayden's the oldest.
Yeah. So one of the other things that she learns is that it's not mandatory that you go into conscription for the general public of children. But if you are a child of a traitor, part of, like, the treaty agreement was that all children of traitors have to conscript. What Violet was told was that they could pick which area they get conscripted to. But Liam is like, no. We all are forced to become dragon riders, which has the highest death rate.
Yes.
And we also find out that, you know, just a couple, I'm going to rattle off a few things that we learned in the archives. So another important thing that we learn is that Violet is searching for the folklore book that her father gave to her as a child. And she's like, oh, well, the scribes have every single copy of every single book ever written. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she asks her friend Jasenia for that book so that she can read it. And she's like, no, there's that doesn't exist. And she's like, no, like, my dad gave it to me. And she's like, yeah, no, but we have every book and that doesn't exist. Which is like,
isn't that interesting?
That's interesting. So then she and Liam are leaving the archives and somebody, like, walks in and they're like, hey, there's a late battle briefing from the front lines. It was supposed to be delivered to, you know, your class so that you guys can talk about it in battle brief. Can you deliver the note? And she's like, yeah, sure. So she's like wheeling back the books back to, like, the writer's Hopefully, quadrant. Yeah. And the note, like, flutters off, which was, like, hilarious because I was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to read this note.
I mean, duh. Yeah.
So yeah. The note flutters off and it just opens magically.
Happens to open by a mystical wind. Yeah.
So then she picks it up and she, like, reads it. And it's something about, we need more writers. Can you please send reinforcements? Like, we're not doing well. Like, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the exact verbiage.
Like, also, like, the wards, because, like, the...
Oh, the wards, like, are breaking. Can you... Yeah, yeah.
Because the village is being pillaged because they're looking for things.
Yeah. Yes. And she's like, oh, shoot.
Big,
like,
deal. This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal. She's like, well, I guess I know what we're going to discuss in battle brief. So then, like, an hour later in class, it comes up and none of what she and Liam read is talked about. And she's like, Liam, she's like, starts to second guess herself. She was like, did it say confidential on there? Was this something we weren't? And yeah. He was like, no, I don't think so.
Nope.
And so basically they're just discussing an old battle.
This is, we've all as the reader been second guessing the, like,
of course,
government, the people in charge, because, like, also it's a fantasy novel and her mom sucks and, like, all the people, yeah, in charge suck. Obviously. So, like, yeah. But this is the first time I think she is like, what's happening here? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So there's, so the next thing that happens is she's, like, in sparring class or whatever. And I guess Zayden and Garrick spar for like the first time and they have their shirts off and, like, all the women are so ogling hot. Them. It is so hot. And she's,
and
like,
her and we are us and we are them. And they, like, just stop and stare at them. And it's
all,
so
everybody is, like, just staring at the two sexy males sparring with their shirts off. And I think it was, like, Liam or somebody's like, stop objectifying our wing leader.
And then Rhi's like, we could be watching for technique. And Violet's like, we could. You're right. But that's what we're doing. And Liam's like, no, you're not.
It's so really good. So anyways, so while they're there, two things happen. One, yeah. Jack is being an asshole because he's Jack. But one of his, like, little cronies is, like, standing next to him. And his crony is like, hey, dude, do you want an orange? And he's like, dude, get that noxious shit away from me. Do you want me to end up in the infirmary? And I literally highlighted it and I go, okay, so he's allergic to oranges and he's going to, I thought at that time, die by orange. I was like, he's going to die an orangey death. because we all know how Violet likes to poison people.
Yes. Well, so then, death by oranges coming your way, Jack.
So anyways, so she's arguing with Jack, and Dane's like, he just gets annoyed with her because he's like, stop egging him on. And she's like, back off, dude. Like, I can handle myself. And of course, Dane doesn't trust her.
It's another example of him being like, please just sit in the corner and keep your head down and let everyone pick on you because that's safer. And I want you to be safe. And it's like, no.
So then Zayden walks up and she's not wearing her corset because... her dragon scale corset. And so Zayden's like, why the fuck aren't you wearing that? Because, oh, what we didn't mention, BT dubs everybody, in case you forgot, is that Zayden now has to keep her alive because their dragons are mates. And Tarn legit almost died the last time his rider died because I guess he gets very emotionally attached unlike other dragons. And it almost killed him. And if he dies, mated pairs die together. So if he dies, then Sigale dies.
Which means Zayden dies.
So now Zayden's like, I have to keep you alive.
Another reason why this whole pseudo-mates thing is chef's kiss, Rebecca.
I love it. So he's like, you know I can't kill you. Fuck Sorengale. The entire quadrant knows I can't kill you. And then she says, that doesn't mean you can't hurt me. And he gets like taken aback a little bit. And she's annoyed because Tarn is like talking in her ear. And so she keeps getting interrupted with like her conversation with Zayden and like arguing back. And Taryn's like arguing in her brain. And so Zayden's like, just shut him out. Like, just tell him to, like, shut up. And she's like, I can't. I don't have any power. Are you unaware that I'm not channeling yet? And he goes, he, like, leans in. So they're, like, almost nose to nose. And he's like, I am annoyingly aware of everything you do.
Oh, God, the sexiness. I can't handle it. And then this is when Dane pops in, right? Is this moment?
This is when Dane pops in and like, starts to try to defend her again. And Zayden's like, dude, you have the most annoying and unusual times to defend her.
He goes, you choose the oddest times to defend her, Atos. And Zayden all but rolls his eyes as he looks at Dane, and the most convenient times not to.
Ooh,
like, yes. Burn. The most convenient times not to. You would let her die. But right now, right here, is worth it for you to come defend her in this moment. Like, just go. Get away.
And so Zayden turns around to like in a, like just angry to like storm off, and that's when his shirt's still off, and that's when Violet sees all the scars on his back, and she's like sucks in a breath, and she's like, oh my god, like what happened?
Yeah.
So then Tarn is, you know, kind of like, I guess, impressed with her that she held her own in like this little argument between Zayden and everybody, blah blah blah. And so he's like, you're ready. Like, I think you're ready for me to channel my power to you.
Okay.
So then she's like in her room, and it's like, you know, she's just like standing there, and all of a sudden, like, all this power just comes flooding. It's like an energy pours in, a deluge of raw, endless power, eroding everything I was and forging something completely new as it fills every pore, every organ, every bone. Seems very painful. She's like screaming. And then she's like very excited. She's very excited. But then all of a sudden she's like, oh, my vision starts to blur. I'm feeling a little funny inside, a little bit warm and tingly.
So it turns out Tarn was like, wow, glad we got that channeling thing done. Sigale, you know what channeling does to me? Makes me all kind of horny. Let's have some dragon sex. This is just like flooded into like her dragon and Zayden. Like literally when they are like hot and steamy getting it on, her and Zayden also feel the, like, sexual...
But she can't close it off yet. She hasn't learned how to, like...
She also doesn't know what's happening. She's just like, why? What's happening?
Can you imagine the first time your dragon channels into you and then also they go and, like, have sex with their mate and you're like, is this what it's like all the time? Am I just going to be horny forever?
Is this my new life? Am I just perpetually horny?
It's so
funny. Is this
what happens? Oh my god, okay.
So she is like, I need some fresh air. Liam, please take the night off. Leave me alone. Please, Liam, leave me be. And she just like runs off. And she sees Zayden being like smoking pot, I don't know, some sort of herbal supplement thingy.
Yeah. And she runs out there. She's like, I'm really fucking hot. Like, I'm really burning up. And he just goes, yeah, that happens. And he's like smoking a cigarette. And she's like, what is happening?
So good. And she's like, but like, really? Is this all the time? And he's like, no, they're hooking up. Just wait till they're done.
Okay.
Okay, wait. So just one thing. I just loved the way she talks about Zayden when she sees him. She goes, "Zayden, while brooding and bossy, dangerous and lethal, is a toe-curling sight that makes my pulse quicken. But Zayden, laughing, his head thrown back with a smile, curving his mouth, is drop-dead beautiful." I was like, oh my god, it's so good.
I love that.
Okay, right. Then he's like, "I'm gonna teach you how
to ground and shield."
Ground, yeah. And shield.
Which was really cool. I really appreciate this visualization because I feel like we don't, I mean, we always have like a magic lesson, I feel like, in a lot of these fantasy books.
This is really our only one. Like, we don't really get that many in this book.
No, not her, that like, many, yeah. But I really liked the one that we got. Agreed, I really liked how he described it and how he was like, everybody grounds differently. Like, find your safe space, basically.
Yes.
And she's like, immediately thinks of like the scribes in the library. And he's like, okay, now shut every door. Lock everything up. This is your space. And then find a window, find a door, crack it open to allow in some of the power. So she has like a little window for Andarna.
And a door.
And a little door then, like, for
another
Tear.
Window.
It's like,
it's
great.
It's so good.
And I think then like later when her and Zayden start mind speaking, she makes like another.
What else does she have?
I think she has like
a skylight?
Like a sky. I want to say there's a skylight or something. Like a little skylight. Because Zayden's the sky and the sun and the moon and the earth.
A doggy door?
Is it a doggy door? Zayden's like, head pops into the doggy door.
Hey. Yeah, just like a little.
Hey. No, that's Andarna's. I want the doggy door to be Andarna.
Oh, that's totally Andarna. Hey. Also, but through this whole thing, he's holding her face and he's going, "You've got this." And he's like, "Okay, yes, like, there you go. Keep going." Like, he's just being the sweetest, most vulnerable, like, wonderful version of himself we've seen maybe this whole time. Like, yeah. Open. Like, the most open version of himself. It's so wonderful.
And then.
Oh, it happens.
He just goes, she does it. And he goes, "Perfect. You are natural. It takes most people a week just to learn how to ground." And she's just like naturally good at it because she's Violet.
Well, I am a Sauron girl. No one else seems to notice, but I am.
He just like looks at her and he says, "You are astonishing."
So sweet.
Oh, it's like so sweet.
Yeah.
So then he starts to like, he's like holding her face and his like thumb starts to stroke like the area under her like ears.
Oh.
And he's like, "Damn it, touching you is a bad idea." And she's like, "The worst." He groans and my core melts at the sound. "Kissing you would be a cataclysmic mistake. Calamitous." Oh my god. And then like they start inching closer and closer and then he just goes, he says, "We'll both regret it." And she goes, "Naturally." And then he just goes, fuck it.
And they kiss. Yes.
And it's so good.
I loved that she had him say fuck it and just kiss her.
Fuck it.
Oh my god. And then there's a part where he's going, which, okay, the violence nickname at times I didn't like, but right here when he
yeah, I know,
when he moans violence into her mouth,
he like pulls away and he's like, "Violence."
Yeah, I liked it here.
I liked it here. You know what I didn't like? It, I didn't like it at the very end of the book.
Yeah,
when he done agreed. Fucked up and like kept secrets and he's like, violence. I'm like, no, now's the time we say Violet.
Bye. Beautiful, sweetie, anything else.
Okay, so they're having like a really hot makeout session and then all of a sudden there's a flash of light burns behind my closed eyes followed by the boom of thunder. Did you not highlight that? I literally was like,
I immediately
highlighted. I was like, lightning, thunder.
And she's like, "Oh, just a casual snow thunder." Or what does she call it?
She says, "Thunder snow isn't uncommon around here, but damn does it summarize yeah. how it feels, wild and out of control." And then he breaks the kiss really quickly.
So
But it's late. Do you remember later what he says? Later he's like, she says like, when she finally wields the lightning, she says, "When did you know I could wield lightning?" He was like, when we first kissed.
I saw it.
Because yeah. I saw it.
I felt
and
it.
And I love that, like, he brought it out of her.
Absolutely he did. Love of it. Course he did. Okay, then, okay, I appreciate this. I do. It was frustrating at the time. But I do get it. He was like, no, we have to stop. And she was like, "Wait, no, I want." And he's like, "No, this isn't your want. This is what is being fueled into us by our dragons."
Respect. Like, I do respect that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Of all of the ways she could have stopped this, instead of being like, "I'm not good for you," like, that would have been like, okay, this is annoying. This actually made sense. I get it. It was annoying, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
He was like, but okay, he goes, "That's the fucking problem. And I can't leave you out here on your own. So have just a little mercy on me and go."
Have a little mercy. Oh, that line.
All right. So okay. That all happened.
Okay. So I'm just going to rattle off a few things that happened before.
Great.
So we can move along to get to like the big stuff. So
yep.
Jack finally challenges her. She utilizes, like, the thing about the oranges, and she poisons him, which was hilarious, and they both end up in the infirmary.
She, like, shoves it in his face. It's great.
Yeah, Jack, like, illegally uses his power to, like, basically stun her. So they both end up in the infirmary, and that's when Zayden's like, okay, well, clearly you can't keep yourself safe, and so now I'm taking over your training, and I'm going to train you.
I'm taking over everything when it comes to you.
Yeah. So he takes over her training, a lot of time passes, and the squad battles start, and there's like sparring challenges and blah, blah, blah.
It's very like Olympics for the college. It's like there's a lot of events and things.
They have, you know, the thing with the map, and she, you know, they have to break off into groups, and Violet's like, I know what we need. I know what our enemies would want. They would want my mom's map. And so they break into her mom's office. That part was really cool, and they like... Yeah. Sneak it, and she sees some like interesting things on her mom's desk that come up later at the end of the book.
Yes.
And they win that big squad battle, because if you have the map of all the armies, then that would 100% help you win the war.
Right.
So that's like the big thing. So then, as being winners of the squad battle, I guess their reward is that they get to go visit an outpost to see how like a real outpost runs with dragon riders. So they go to the outpost, and when they're there, it's like pretty much as soon as they get there, Violet, they're at the same outpost that her sister Mira,
this was beautiful,
is posted at.
I loved this.
So like Mira runs up and it's like, sister, sister.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I loved it. It was like a family moment.
Mira literally does not know if she's alive.
Yeah. All first year dragon riders, nobody's allowed to have contact with their family.
And it's this beautiful sister moment where Violet is like, everything that's happened comes crashing into her, and she's just like crying into her sister. And it's just so like sweet. They're hugging. The way it's written is so beautiful. I loved that moment. It was amazing.
I love it.
Oh, and then Rhi goes to see her nephew. It's really
sweet. Yes, Rhi goes to see her baby nephew, and they sneak out, and like Mira goes. I love that Mira didn't stop them. Mira's like, no, okay, I'll just come with you.
And she doesn't stop them because Violet's like, imagine if I had a baby. Imagine if you weren't allowed to see me after I had your nephew. And she's like, God damn it, fine.
I love it.
Use that against me, I'll go. Yeah,
I so love good. Their bond. I love the sister bond.
Me too.
And Mira gives her the book, the fairy tale book from her father, which is
important
and very important in a little bit. Okay, so then they get back. So anyway, so they're at the outpost, and they've been there for like 3 days exactly. And Zayden shows up
because they're walking out of Rhiannon's house, and she's like, just like wondering, how long can mated dragons be apart? And then Zayden comes out of the shadows, like, turns out the answer's 3 days. And she's like, it's so good. And Mira hates Zayden, which, like, we knew from the beginning, but yeah. I kind of forgot how much she hates him. And then she's mean to him, like, Mira, stop it. He is wonderful.
Well, also, what we have to remember, which I don't think we mentioned in the last episode, is Zayden's father is responsible, supposedly, for their older brother's death.
Supposedly.
Bum, bum, bum.
Can you imagine? You're like, this girl hates me so much. And I'm like, I just talked to your brother yesterday. I'm just hanging out with him.
I have a lot of quite when we get there. Also, Mira says something very interesting here, which obviously comes up later. She was like, yeah, I was out on patrol the other day, and I could have sworn I saw, a riot is like what they call a big group of flying dragons. So she's like, I thought I saw a riot of dragons on the border during...
Across the border. And she wasn't. She was seeing
It was wyverns. She was seeing wyverns. Yeah. That was interesting.
So they all go back. They're there. And Dane is like, Zayden's here? What? And
like, then what are you doing Dane's here, like, dude?
3 days? You couldn't make it 3 days? And then Violet interrupts and says, it has nothing to do with him. That's up to Taryn and Sigale. And then Zayden, in her head, goes, you never considered that it was you I couldn't stay away from? Slay me. Okay.
I love it. And then also, we're like, you're talking in her mind. Hello, your mind's speaking.
Yes. Well, we're just mates. Let's just be mates already. You're mates.
Let's be
mates. You can't stay away from each other. Your mind's speaking. You love each other. Okay. I'm just accepting it. You're mates.
I love it.
The scalp tingling, which I will get to later.
Yep. So they're in this thing, and like they're having like a fake, basically battle brief class of like, what would you do if we were in this war and battle? And like Dane and Zayden are basically like whipping out their dicks to see which one's bigger. Literally someone says that.
Just
whip it out and measure already, dudes. Like, you guys are... Anyways. So then Mira, she's like, well, you have Zayden here, and she's arguing with him, and she starts saying, like, why are you friends with him? Like, why, like, do, I don't trust him. You can't be with him. Like, you trust Dane. And she's like, no, like, I do trust him. Like, he's, you know, our dragons are mates. Like, he has to, we both have a vested interest in each other's lives. And she's like, well, what's going to happen when he goes off to battle and you're going to have to leave your studies? And like, because apparently they can't be apart for more than 3 days. And
so which, like, here for it. That's yeah. fine. She can get tutors.
And I love Zayden. Zayden, like, interrupts and he's like, I'm here. And she's like, yeah, no, I know. I get it. You're here. He's like, no, you don't get it. I am here. Our dragons missed each other, but I didn't make her fly out to me. I flew to her.
Exactly.
Which it actually took me a second when he first said it. I was like, what is his point? And then I realized he's like, no. Like, it's equal.
Yeah.
Like, I will not expect her to just give up everything. I will also show up for her.
Yes. Your sister is still right here. I am the one who left my post, my position, and my executive officer in charge of my wing. She's not missing out on shit. And yes. I was like, yes.
Shut
exactly.
it down. Shut it down.
And then that's when Taryn's like, alert, there's griffins heading your way, like in the middle
out,
of this
get
fight
out. And she like doesn't want to leave, and like Zayden is basically like pulling her away from, and I get it, like she thinks she might never see her sister again.
And then Mira says to him, she goes, you want me to trust you, Ryerson? Get her the fuck out of
get
here
her the fuck
and
out
find
of here.
A way for her to keep her seat.
Yeah,
we both know she's dead if she doesn't.
Yeah.
And like then runs into battle, and then she, and then they're all like trying to go and trying to, like, it was like they're all on the roof and people are like, dragons are plucking people up and we're trying to get everyone's
dragons
practice.
Are plucking people up
and like running, and Dane's like, no, I've got her, and Zane's like, I've got her, you go, and he's like, and like trusting her, it's so good. But then that's when he kisses her and he's like, leave for me, Violet. And
he doesn't want you to die.
So, okay, she's like, I'm going to hate you for this. I will never forgive you. And he's like, I can live with that. And
I can live, like, with that because you'll be safe.
And then he's like, leave for me, Violet. God, it's so good.
It's so good.
All right. Okay. So then they leave.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So the next big thing we do is we play capture the flag, basically. Uh-huh. Except that it's an egg that they have to go capture, a dragon egg.
There's also a flag, but like, it's fine. It yeah, it's fine. Different.
So they go up, she gets to her dragon, and Taryn has a saddle.
Yes.
He's got, so Zayden had a saddle especially made for her.
Made for her.
To like strap her legs in so that she can hold her seat. Because Taryn has been having to use magic to keep her in her seat, which like drains his magic, which in battle is not good because like she needs to be able to channel the magic to like, you know, fight people.
It's like a whole
thing. Yeah, it's a whole thing. So Zayden, which is like so thoughtful, makes her a saddle so that she can sit. And it's like so sweet.
She's like, I can't use that. It's not allowed. And then Taryn says, I decide what's allowed and what's not. There's no rule that says a dragon cannot modify their seat to serve their rider. You have worked just as hard, if not harder, than every rider in this quadrant. Just because your body is built differently than others doesn't mean you don't deserve to keep your seat. It takes more than a few strips of leather and a pommel to define a rider.
Aww.
Like, isn't that so sweet?
It's so sweet. I love Taryn.
It takes more than that to define a rider, you know?
I love that. Because, and it's the same thing. It's like his whole mentality of like, it's not like physical strength, but strength of courage.
Yeah.
You know, when she saves Andarna. Okay, so like right before she gets the saddle, though, she's having like a conversation with Zayden. And she's like, you know, they're like, he like knows her birthday or something. And like, he knows things about her. And she's like, oh my God, like, did you look me up? And yeah. He makes a joke of like, can't know how to ruin someone without understanding them first. And she like flinches and she's like, is that still your plan? And he like flinches and he's like, no.
Yeah, duh. He loves you.
And she says, what changed? And she says, when did you decide not to ruin me? And Zayden says, maybe it was when I saw Orin holding a knife to your throat. Or maybe it was when I realized the bruises on your neck were fingerprints and I wanted to kill them all again just so I could do it slowly. Maybe it was the first time I recklessly kissed you when I realized I'm fucked because I can't stop thinking about doing more than just kissing you. Does it even matter when as long as it's changed between us?
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like, it's really sweet.
I loved that. And yes, exactly. That's right before the saddle thing. Because right, that's outside the teacher's office because she's trying to figure out if Mira's alive.
Yes.
And she is. But then Dane walks up and like, get out of here, Dane. They're having a really sweet moment. Things have changed between them.
And he's like still, he like says part of that, like last part into her brain. And she's
into
like,
into her brain, into her mind, her
into
mind,
her
please.
Mind. She's like, why do you keep doing that? He's like, you can learn to do it too if you just practice.
Yes.
And it's like so sweet.
Don't you want to mind speak with me? Because you do. Oh my gosh. Okay. So then we get to capture the flag, which the main thing here that happens here is Jack is the literal worst, but it's okay because he dies.
It's okay. Okay. So he almost kills Liam and she like, this was terrible. I was like,
I thought he was going to die here.
Yeah.
I really did.
Okay. So they're battling or whatever, and she sees Liam about to die.
Jack stabs him. He stabs his whole side.
Yeah, he stabs him. And so then he falls, and she loses it. Doesn't want to lose her friend.
Well, because they get him, and they're like, okay, we got him. Okay, he's okay. And she's talking, Taryn's talking to his dragon, and then he lands on Rhiannon's dragon, and we're okay. And then she's like, get me back up there. Get me to Jack. And she's like, things are building. And she thinks that she's about to explode because she hasn't gotten her signal.
Yes, right. She thinks she's like literally about to like implode. And then all of a sudden, like lightning erupts from her body.
Yes!
And it's like the sizzle of magic grows to a lethal swirling vortex of energy. And though my feet are still firmly grounded, the power rises to a breaking point. And the roof of my archives, which like her grounding, right? Like the roof of her archives.
Yes, yes.
Disintegrates. Power crackles above me, swirls around me, wraps along my feet below me. I love this line. She says, I am the sky and the power of every storm that has ever been. I am infinite.
Yes, you are, Violet.
She screams as like she's like power just pours out of her. And then it just goes, lightning wielder.
Yeah. Lightning wielder.
It's so
That was such a cool reveal. Amazing. I loved it.
And she kills Jack.
And Jack dies and it's wonderful.
And Jack dies.
I have to say, I was so mad up until this point that he hadn't died yet, but I'm glad we saved it for this. This was a good way for him to die. I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Okay. So then, you know who is a freaking jerk face, though, about him dying and her getting power?
Oh, my God. I fucking hate this part.
Surprise, surprise. It's Dane. So she's having a hard time because she killed someone.
Her first time killing somebody.
It was Jack. So, like, girl, it's okay, but fine. Dane takes this and is like, it's okay, Violet. You don't ever have to use that power again if you don't want to. You can just lock it up inside. You don't ever have to use that again. And Zayden is like, get the fuck away from her with that.
He literally says, he's like, stop fucking coddling her. She is not a child. She's a full-grown woman, a writer. Start treating her like one at least have the decency to give her the truth.
Oh.
And Dane's like, you just want her to be like you, a cold-blooded killer. Soon you'll be telling her that it's all right, that you get used to killing. And Zayden nails him with a glare. The blood in my veins is as warm as yours, Atos. And if it's my job you want next year, then you better start understanding that you never get used to killing, but you do understand that it's necessary.
Yes. It's like, also, Dane, how dare you keep treating her like this? She has two dragons. She's a lightning wielder. And you're like, no. It's okay. You don't have to use that magical power. You don't have to have the two dragons. Like, just let the girl be. She has proved herself to everyone else but you, apparently, because you just cannot believe in her.
Yeah.
It's so awful and frustrating.
So fucking frustrating.
Okay.
So anyways, so then she goes to her room and she's like,
She's
having a hard time. And Zayden shows up.
Zayden's gonna come make her feel better.
She's very upset and she's like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I get over this? And he's like, there's nothing wrong with you. You get to be angry that you killed a man today. You get to be angry that man tried to kill your friend. You get to feel however you want within these walls.
God, he's
so
perfect.
That is what she needed. She needed to know that it's okay to feel all of the things that she's feeling, that she doesn't regret necessarily killing Jack, but yet it took a part of her soul. She's mad that he tried to kill her friend, but she doesn't regret the fact that she like saved her friend. Like all of these roller coasters of emotion, and Zayden's like, feel them. That's fine.
You're allowed to feel
them. You're safe here to feel your feelings.
Exactly. You're safe to feel your feelings. And it's that as well as still making her not feel like a monster, right? Because Dane's reaction would make you feel like a monster. You never have to use that scary power again. It is scary. It is bad. Like, you are bad. And it's like, no. You are not bad. And your feelings aren't bad.
Yeah.
End of story. You know?
Yeah.
But you know what else happens here?
Okay.
Is
guys,
the sexy
chapter
times.
30. This is my chapter 55. If you know, you
okay.
know.
Okay, you want to lead this charge? So, chapter 30 by Anna.
Chapter 30.
What happens? Lead us through it, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you. So,
Anwars, beware. We are coming for you.
Okay, so he's like, he's like being sweet and whatever. And I think she's up against the wall or something at this point. And he's like, you know, I shouldn't do this. Like, I'm the last thing you need right now. And she's like, are you suggesting that I should find someone else? And he's like, fuck no. Like, no. And she says, good, because I only want you, Zayden. Okay, I have to say, I love that Violet says what she wants. This entire scene, she's actually the first one that says mine. Like, she, he starts kissing her, and in her, she's like, mine. In this moment, Zayden Rorison is mine. And usually we get that from like the dude first, especially like in a fated mates type situation.
Totally.
And I really liked that she said it first.
It's especially because we know that she is not this like weak, fragile flower, but because of her sometimes physical things that hold her back and because how Dane treats her, you know, it is really nice to get to see her be in charge in the bedroom and yes. not be this like frail flower.
Yes.
And be empowered, you know?
Yes, 100%. And he's like, you're going to hate me in the morning. You don't really want this. And I love she immediately, she's like, stop telling me what I want.
Yes, exactly. Perfect example of what I was just saying.
Yes, exactly. And then he goes, you walk into room and I can't look away. I can't get anywhere near you. And this is what happens. And he like rocks his hips into my hand and my grip tightens along with his stomach. Wanting you is not the problem here. It's so good.
And you know, it's like we've read steamier stuff. We've read smuttier books. But somehow this really went, by the time we got here, I was just so excited
for it. With the tension.
And it delivered in a way I wanted it to. I was not disappointed by this.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And he like slowly takes down her hair because she always wears it in a braid. And he's like, fuck me, this hair. And he like loves it. And she's like, right. Kiss me. And I love, she's like, he's like, tell me to stop. And she's like, don't stop. And he's like, fuck, Violet.
Oh my God. God, it's so
when good. He says, look at you, you're fucking beautiful, Violet, let go for me. I am
the let go for
done,
me really
dead deceased
dead done deceased
all of the above.
Also, there's a lot of consent. It is very clear consent.
Very clear. She's consent.
Like, I'm asking you to fuck me. He's like, okay, cool. Like, I really appreciated that.
I also love that he like checks in with her, like, are you okay?
Agreed.
Like,
it was yeah. so well done. I loved
it's perfect.
It.
It's perfect. There's a lot. Okay. So they're up against the armoire. The armoire door groans and then it splinters off its hinges. Like
splinters. Oh my God. And then there's
curtains
a thing.
Fall, charred. There's yeah. charred fabric. Yeah. The armoire comes off its hinges, the door.
There's a chair situation, the target. Like, it was so okay. destructive.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
What?
It's Twilight. The bedroom scene in Twilight. When she wakes up and there's feathers floating from the ceiling.
Oh my God. So you have ruined this scene for me. This was hot. Now I'm picturing the damn honeymoon in Twilight. When she walks up
that
and
is
the
what
sconces
happened.
Are askew.
And the room is askew. And do you remember we were watching Twilight and we were like, there is someone's job to be like, no, I need more sconces off the wall. I need more feathered pillows shredded.
Throw more feathers.
Throw more feathers.
Needs to be more disruption.
No one prepared me.
Oh my God. That is exactly what it is, Anna.
It's hilarious.
All right. Yeah. Going forward, we're just going to be like, and then it was the honeymoon suite in Twilight. Yep. Furniture, everything is askew and broken. Okay.
Okay. Okay, oh, so then yeah. they're coming down from their high and it's like all wonderful or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is when he like opens up to her about her scars and like the fact that he's in charge of all 107 of the kids. And if any of them betray, like his scars was him taking basically ownership of every child of a traitor. So that if any of them act out against Navarre, then he forfeits his life to protect all of them.
Because they were just going to kill them all. Like, didn't he do this to save them?
I don't remember.
I think that it was like...
It doesn't explicitly say that, I don't think.
So why did he do? I feel like it was like a dire scenario.
He says, I saw the opportunity to make a deal and I took it. And what kind of deal leaves you with scars like that? The kind where I take personal responsibility for the loyalty of the 107 kids rebelling leaders left behind. And in return, we're allowed to fight for our lives in the writer's quadrant instead of being put to death like our parents. You're right.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck?
They were going to kill all of those children. And he was like, he, as the oldest one, made a deal with her mother, if we remember. Her mother.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just so awful. Like, I thought it was going to be bad, but I did not think it was going to be
bad. No, it's pretty, it's bad. So then, okay, so they have that sweet moment. She's like, stay. And he stays with her in her room. And then when she wakes up, he's not there, but he went out and got her fresh violets because her name is Violet. And he put them in a jar by her bed.
And
which
they're
was,
in the
like,
jar.
Really
and
sweet.
And they're right there. I appreciated it. Okay. All
right. So the other thing I like is Zayden, again, after this like sexy time, he's like, you know, you can't, like, don't fall in love with me. Like, it's not like this can't be more, which we learn later is because obviously there's a lot more going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I do love this. I love this line that she says to him. And I am so appreciative of this line because I feel like it bypasses the miscommunication trope. She says, you want me. I put my hand on his chest and feel his heart pounding. And I know that scares you, even though I want you just as badly. He stiffens. But here's the thing, she says, you don't get to dictate how I feel. You might give the orders out there, but not in here. You don't get to tell me when we can fuck, but I can't fall for you. That's not fair. You can only respect what I choose to do. So we're not doing this again until I want to risk my heart. And if I fall, then that's my problem, not yours. You're not responsible for my choices. And I love that.
Agreed.
Because it's always like, no, you're not good for me. Like, don't, we can't be together. And then it's like, it goes on and on and on. But she's like, no, I get to own my own feelings. And if I choose to do this and if I get my own heart broken, that's on me. But I'm a grown ass adult.
Agreed. This is a moment where it really could have gone YA, more juvenile, which yes. Is my complaint at other parts of the book.
Yes.
And instead we were adults. And I loved how to the point and clear she was. She was very clear. Good communication. Good job, Violet. Loved it.
I agree. Okay. All right. So then we have the Yule Ball.
Like we're at Harry Potter?
Yep. Yeah. It's basically what it felt like, except not as fun.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
My takeaway from the ball was really just like, as we all already knew, all of the leadership is awful.
They're terrible.
But it also, I think, was an eye-opening moment for Violet because she was there with Liam because Liam stayed with her as a good friend. And she's realizing for the first time that this is a party to celebrate the day that their parents were killed and to celebrate this really hurtful, terrible thing that happened to these people who are now her friends.
And she's learning the truth about kind of what happened and the sad truth of what happened.
Yes.
I mean, she doesn't understand still like why the uprising happened or the real truth behind it, but she's learning that like it is like the sins of their father, right? Like we don't punish the children for the sins of their father.
I think it really got the point across that this was a very good allegory for prejudice in any way, shape or form. And I think we really, it was like woven into the characters without it being hitting us over the head with it.
I agree.
Yeah. And they're like having the audacity to like glare at Liam and his tattoo. I'm like, you killed his parents on this day. Like, what is wrong with you? You were gonna kill him.
They were like 7 or 10.
And then Liam was like, well, it must not be fun for you either, as in like your brother died today too. And like the maturity and the beautifulness to be like, well, also I'm seeing your pain, what you're going through. No one here is looking at me in my pain, but let me look at you. God, he's such a sweet boy.
Sweet boy.
But yeah, so they leave that party real quick. She's like, we've made our appearance.
Let's leave our party. And she's like, where's Zayden? I'm worried about Zayden. He's like, he's on the parapet. He wants to be alone. And she's like, wait, no.
So she sees Garrick and them and they're like, you're not going to want to see him tonight. Notice we're not even with him and we're his best friends. And she says, yeah, well, I'm his. And she just goes this whole thing and she goes, I'm just his. For the first time since last year, I step up onto the parapet. Like, she's like, I'm his. I have to go see him. I have to.
It's so sweet.
So she trudges out there in this dress on the parapet, the terrible tightrope of doom, stupid stone.
He's
just hanging out on it, literally as if it's just, he's like on a park bench.
He's just like sitting there and he like jumps up and he's like, oh my God, go back. You're in a gown and it's windy. You're literally a sail about to take flight.
You're about to take flight. You're a kite.
She's like, no. I can do this now because I'm a dragon rider.
No.
So she comes out there. And she says, I know you said you don't see a future for us. My heart races like it's trying to take flight as I blurt out the words. But you want me, I say, looking him in the eyes. And no, I'm not just talking about in bed. You want me, Zayden Morrison. You might not say it, but you do one better and show it. You show it every time you choose to trust me, every time your eyes linger on mine. You show it with every passing lesson you don't have time for and every flight lesson that pulls you away from your own studies. You show it when you refuse to touch me because you're worried I don't really want you. Then show it again when you take the time to hunt down violets before a leadership meeting so I don't wake up feeling alone. You show it in a million different ways. Please don't deny it. And he doesn't deny it.
He doesn't.
And then he, like, his jaw just flexes. And she says a few things, but then she finishes with, but if we let fear kill whatever this is between us, then we don't deserve it. I lift one hand to the back of his neck. I told you that I was the one who would decide when I was ready to risk my heart. And I'm saying it.
Oh, such a beautiful speech. Like, I love that moment.
And I love that, like, she comes to him and she, like, says it. I feel like it's, like, a lot of times we get the reverse. And it's like, let's do this or whatever.
Pledging his love.
And he's the one that's so insecure about, like, because he's spent the last 10 years feeling, like, unloved, unwanted.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't have a place in this world. And even though she grew up, like, her mother's a piece of shit, but she had a father and a sister and a brother who loved her.
She was not in charge of 106 kids.
Yes.
She was not, she didn't hold that weight on her.
Yeah.
And just picture this. Like, what a beautiful cinematic moment. I'm sure this is going to get picked up for a movie or TV or something.
Oh, I hope so.
Picture this moment. They're on this parapet and it's windy and there's like the stars are everywhere and he's just standing there and, and she's in her dress and she's saying all these things and it's blowing and
the
they're
wind.
Touching each other's faces. Like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Okay.
So then he says, there's only you, Violence. Is that what you needed to hear? Even when I'm not with you, there's only you. Oh, God.
There's it's only like, you tubes, Aiden.
So then he's like, okay, yeah. He's like, come with me. So they go back to her room.
Really, like, they get back and she takes care of him. She's like, I want to take care of you.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet and tender and lovely. And, like, it's really still sexy times, but it's, like, less, like, oh, ravaging lusty and more, like, sweet.
It's more like love. That's what it is.
It's love.
It's love.
Okay.
Okay, so we get interrupted by Garrick, and he's like, grab your fight letters. We're under attack. But it turns out we're not under attack. It's war games.
But also, turns out it's not war games. It's, we're trying to kill you. So it's a lot of loop-de-loos here.
Yeah, so they go out, and they're like, you know, putting on their fighting leathers. And so, like, they're like, okay, wing leader, like, Rorson, you're going to set your headquarters in Athbine, or Athabine, or whatever it's called, which is the same name of the city that was talked about in the battle brief letter that Liam and Violet found that never got discussed actually in class. Yes. And so he gets assigned with all, you know, suspiciously all of the relic kids, but Violet is supposed to go be in Dane's group. And then what happens is Zayden's like, we're switching this up. Like, you're coming with me, Violet. And Dane is like, please, Violet, come, like, don't do this. And she's like, no, I'm going to go with Zayden. And I highlighted this as soon as Dane said it. He says, he swallows hard and leans in to whisper, I'll miss you, Violet. And then he pivots and heads away. And I was like, why are you going to miss her? Like, it's just, like, at this point, we're just like, it's just war games. Like, it's just a game, right?
Yeah.
So they're flying off, like, to go to their outpost that they've been assigned to. But I just have to mention that Andarna wants to tag along. So if you guys follow Allie Learns to Read on Instagram, she writes, like, the most hilarious reviews for books that she reads. And she has she's hilarious. We love her. She wrote this review for Fourth Wing, and she calls it a baby Bjorn. Like, that basically Andarna gets baby Bjorn to Taern, and I can't unsee it. Like, I can't unsee it. This little tiny baby hatchling of a dragon with her little wings, and she's gold and sparkly.
Just strapped in and looking around with the little wings
like
out the
so
side.
It's so cute.
It's adorable.
So anyways, okay, so they're flying, and, like, they have to make a little pit stop at, like, a watering hole so that all the dragons can have, like, a little drink or whatever. And there's this, like, really sweet moment between her and Zayden. Like, he, like, pulls her behind a boulder, and he says, I'm going to keep you, and you're mine, Violet. And she's like, only if you're mine. And he's like, I've been yours for longer than you could ever imagine.
Oh, and it's like, and then it goes down.
Then shit hits the fan.
Like, two sentences after.
Literally, he stiffens and he goes, oh, shit.
So the Griffins land.
The Griffin riders.
The flyers on the Griffins.
And they're like, hey, Zayden, like, best buddy, because you've been sneaking supplies to us and weapons. And
the way it's revealed is nuts. Like, right when they land, he turns, he goes, fuck, I need you to stay calm, Violence, in her head.
And he's like, if you've ever trusted me, I need you to trust me now.
Yes. And then Liam's like, I'm really sorry, Violence. She's like, what? She's like, let me go. And Liam goes, I can't. I really wish I could. And then Zayden just turns to the Griffin riders and goes, you're fucking early. And she's like, what?
It's Zayden, you know them? Our arch enemies?
And he goes, what happened to meeting tomorrow? We don't have a full shipment. And it's like,
what?
What are you talking about? It's
so good. we learn, basically, that all of the fairy tales that she grew up learning about, all the scary monsters under the bed, are real. The Venin, which are these humans that were jealous of the Peromial humans who could channel magic through their griffins, and jealous of the Navarians who could channel their magic through their dragons, and were like, you know what? I'm gonna do some voodoo shit magic where I kill Mother Earth, or not Earth, but whatever, their planet. They suck the magic out of the Earth somehow, which, like, kills the Earth, which is why there's these barons. And it makes them crazy, and their eyes get all, like, red and weird. And then they created wyverns. I'm not really sure how they, like, created the wyverns, but they did
somehow. I'm unclear on that, too, but they're connected.
Fantasy reasons.
Okay,
okay, obviously, Violet's like, you betrayed me, you lied to me. And Zayden's like, okay, but I actually didn't lie to you, I just didn't tell you everything. And she's, of course, upset. But Zayden does say something that I totally actually agree with. He's like, this is bigger than you and me.
Yep, agreed.
My parents, all of our parents died trying to get the Navarians to realize the horror that is happening.
Yes.
And the Naverian government chose to cover it up.
Also, people are currently dying.
People are dying. The Piromios are the only ones trying to fight the Venden, and they can't fight by themselves.
Yeah.
And our country, or my, like, his province that he came from in Tirindor or something, Tirindor, was like, no, like, we have to help. We have a duty to help these people.
Yes.
And so she's learning all of this. And of course, it's, like, hard for her. To her credit, she believes everything.
There's a whole part where Taryn even is like, I prefer you come to your own conclusion. I chose you for your intelligence and courage. Don't let me down.
Yeah. And she even goes on and she's like, you and Andarna lied to me. You knew what he was doing. And Andarna says, we both chose you. And she's like, but you knew. And it's like, yeah, but
what are they supposed to do here, Violet?
What are you supposed to do? And I understand, like, the thing is like, I get it, Zayden. Zayden's like, I want to tell you these things. Like, I think that's part of the reason why he made her come be on his group.
Agreed.
Because I think he wanted to, like, tell her, but he, like, didn't know how.
And, but also, maybe that's why he was mad they showed up early. He was like, I didn't have time to tell her. I was gonna tell her before you guys showed up.
Well, she starts to, like, realize, like, after that line that Taryn says about, like, I chose you for your knowledge, like, use your brain, think about this.
Also, she finds out the dagger thing, because he gives her a dagger, and she's like, I've seen that on my mom's desk. He's like, why would she have one? Because she knows.
She knows, like, the threat, exactly.
Yes.
And so she realizes, she starts putting two and two together, she realizes that, like, okay, she says, were I to believe Venden exist and roam the continent wielding dark magic, then I'd also have to believe they never attack Navarre, because our wards make all non-dragon magic impossible, so they would be powerless, basically, in Navarre, which is why they've been attacking other border towns past the wards.
And which is why the wards breaking is so bad.
Is so bad, because if they can keep breaking the wards and they can essentially enter Navarre and also start attacking Navarre, which is how Navarre, like, the government and the king have been able to keep it a secret, is because the dragon wards mean that, like, no non-dragon magic can function in the wards.
Nobody knows what's happening, that there is Venden or Wyverns or anything. And she does believe it. She's like, yes, hands the dagger back to Zayden. I believe you, but that doesn't mean I trust you anymore.
Yeah, and he's like, I should have told you months ago, but I couldn't. I'm risking everything by telling you now.
He is!
And she's like, because you have to, not because you want to. And he goes, because if your best friend sees this memory, everything is lost. And she's like, you don't know that. And he interrupts her and he says, Dane wouldn't break a rule to save your life, Violet. What do you think he'd do if he had this knowledge? And that's when he says, this is bigger than you and me, Violence, and leadership will stop at nothing to sit behind their wards and keep their Venden a secret.
And then what happens? The memory that Dane took from her without her knowledge is exactly what screws them over.
What screws them over.
Has sent them there. That's why they've sent them
there.
This Dane reveal to me, I did not pick up on. I did not think about him touching her face.
I didn't think he was going to do that.
I know some people I've seen and heard talk about how the second that it was like, he gets things from touching the face every time they were clocking it. I was not at all. I was not clocking this at all.
No, this one surprised me too.
Yes.
Which I just didn't think he was that bad, that evil.
Me either.
And the fact that he let her go.
Yes.
Even when he knew she was like, this was a trap.
And he says, I'll miss you.
Fuck you, asshole. Okay, so then she realizes that Dane actually did read her memories, and she's like, oh my god, this is a death trap. Like, we're all about to die. And Zayden's like, it's not your fault. Like, you didn't know he was going to do that. Like, it's not your fault. Mm. So then there's a nearby town with, like, innocent people and children, and the Venden are attacking.
Yes.
And Zayden's like, okay, guys, our orders are, you can either stay or you can go, like, save these people. So Liam steps forward, so he stands at my side. We watched as our parents were executed because they had the courage to do the right thing. I'd like to think my death would be just as honorable.
Oh my god, it was, Liam, it was!
And then Violet says, my chest tightened. Their parents died to expose the truth, while mine sacrificed my brother to keep this heinous secret.
That's true. You poor girl.
Yeah, I know. And so they all agree that they're going to go into battle, and, like, Violet agrees too. I love Taryn. Taryn's like, she gets on Taryn's back and he's like, we will feast on their bones, Silver One.
We will feast on, like, their bones.
He's so funny because, like, he's very ancient sounding.
He's like a Game of Thrones dragon, like, thrown into this, like, this time period.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So they're about to go off into battle. They're like, they can see, like, all these wyverns flying in.
Oh, yeah.
So then she says, are there any other secrets you're keeping from me? And he, like, cups her face and he leans into her and he's like, yes, but stay alive and I promise I'll tell you whatever you want to know. The simple confession makes my heart clench, and as angry as I am, I can't imagine a world without him in it. I need you to survive this, even if I hate that I still love you, she says. And he says, I can live with that.
God, it's so good.
So they're like, they're flying around. That's like a big battle scene.
It's a big battle.
Yes.
A lot. It goes back and forth. You think they're making ground, then they're not making ground. Then you think they're doing well and they're not doing well.
And
to me, the big thing here is
Liam.
Liam. Yeah,
Liam.
Yeah.
This is the big thing. Yeah. So Liam realizes that if you kill a Venon, it takes out the wyverns that Venon created. So he's trying to attack a specific Venon and he falls and Day gets hurt. And so Day is dying, which means
he's dying.
Liam is dying. And he can't reach Day and he wants to be by his dragon. And he's like, I can't make it. And she's like trying to like carry him. And he says, we can't. It's all right, Violet.
Oh, it's so sad.
He's struggling to breathe. And she's like, it's not all right. None of this is all right. Please stay. And she's begging and she's like, fight to stay, Liam, please, please. And this, he goes, at parapet, you have to take care of my sister. Like,
this broke me, the sister part.
She's like, Liam, no, you'll be there. You have to be there. She's like, he has to smile at the sister he's missed for years and flash that dimple of his. He has to give her the stack of letters he's written. He deserves it after all he's been through.
He does.
Then, like, Taryn is like, there's nothing you can do for him, Silver One. Like, it's his time, like, blah, blah, blah.
He's like, just promise me you'll take care of Sloane, his sister. And she's like, I know. I promise.
And she's like, yes, yes, I promise. And he, like, says, I know you feel betrayed, but Zayden needs you. And I don't just mean alive, Violet. He needs you. Oh. I love, like, even this last moment, he's just like, look out for Zayden.
He's
like
trying to be such a good friend. Oh, friend. Wait. And then she's like, thank you for being my shadow. Thank you for being my friend. And he says, it's been my honor.
My honor.
Oh, God.
Liam.
And then, oh God, and then they start calling each other brother and they're crying and it's just
too much.
I know,
it's just like, he like carries him and he like has like a private moment with him and she stays by Taryn and like.
Because Liam's Ling's going Day and he goes, I know, brother, I know, I'll take you. And he
I'll take you.
Y'all.
And then it's like, then I feel like it's like the mood changes and it's like, fuck, we're destroying them. Like, we're gonna murder these people.
Absolutely.
We're like, it's like reinvigorated battle warriors. So he's like on the ground with Sigael, like putting out all of his shadows, so, like it blinds everybody. And she's flying on the back of Taryn.
Fighting this Venon.
Oh my God.
In the craziest
way. But she like has her legs unstrapped from her saddle because she like has to be able to turn around because when the Venon jumps onto the back and it's
and
like.
And Taryn's like, get in your seat. Buckle your seatbelt.
Hold your seat. I thought it felt very like Western movie to me, like standing on the back of a horse.
Oh,
like
I loved it.
Battling.
This visual, really cool. They're both standing and like the wind's whipping and they're fighting and this was very
And then
cool.
She gets cut by like a poisoned blade basically. And it's really interesting. So she's using her lightning and she's using more and more and more. And she keeps telling Taryn like channel more. And he's like worried because she's going to burn out.
You can't. Yeah.
And the Venon says something very interesting to her. She says, such untapped power. No wonder we were called here. You could command the sky to surrender all its power. And I bet you don't know what to do with it. Do you? Writers never do.
Very interesting.
I actually don't have a big theory around this, but I do feel like it's going to be important in the next book. Like, maybe there's like another layer to a power that the higher ups are not allowing them to explore.
Right. And the fact that this Venon can sense the untapped power.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that's going to make her dangerous to
yes.
the government. They're going to be like, we have to control her.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So she does kill the Wyvern. And
yeah.
The-
and then she ends up basically like almost dying.
Yeah. And Zayn's real sweet. He's like, we have to go. We have to go. And they're like, no, we can't risk it. And she's like coming in and out of consciousness. And then you just hear Zayn go, I don't give a fuck what happens to me. We are going. And that's an order. And then she just goes, live up to your nickname and fight this violence. Zayden whispers against my ear. Then he says louder to someone further away, we have to get her to him. We ride.
We ride.
I love it.
We ride. We ride. It's so dramatic.
It's almost like the witches in Hocus Pocus.
Yes, that's exactly it. We ride.
We ride.
It's Hocus Pocus.
Okay, so they ride.
Okay.
And then they get there and she wakes up. Now, okay, wait, then we have one more sweet thing Zayden says before his chapter. He says, you have to fight, Vi. You can hate me all you want when you wake up. You can scream, hit, throw your fucking daggers at me for all I care, but you have to live. You can't make me fall for you and then die. None of this is worth it without you.
Oh.
None of it is worth it without you.
And then write the last thing that she remembers in her chapter.
Yep,
is-
yep.
Is she hears someone call Zayden's name and she goes, she realizes it's a familiar voice, but she
voice.
Can't place it.
Yeah.
And then Zayden says, you have to save her. And it has to be Brennan, right?
Oh, it's totally Brennan.
Totally 100%. Brennan.
100%. And that's, I think, who he's talking about when he's like, we have to get him to her. Like, yes, we have to go. Oh, my God. Because he's the mender. He's the healer.
He's the mender.
Like, God.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I love that the last chapter of the book is Zayden's POV.
It made me so excited for next book. Because I think, I was like, why didn't we have this the whole book? This is amazing. But we couldn't have Zayden throughout the book without it giving away the Brennan secret until this moment.
Exactly. Exactly.
We had to save it.
No, we had to save
it. And I'm really happy we got it, but I hope it's also going to be a lot of next book because it is amazing.
When he, like, that it opens with him being like, it's been, like, he's like, it's been 3 fucking days. Violet hasn't woken up. My lungs only fill with air when hers do. Like, it's just, you're getting, like, all of these, like, sweet. And he's like, she can't die. Not because there's a chance I won't survive. She can't die because I know I can't live without her if she, oh, God.
It's so good. It's just, so, okay, so he talks about how when he fell
yes,
for
he
her.
Talks, well, he says, like, he's like, we hadn't even kissed and I fell.
Yes.
And he's like, he wanted to say he loved her, but he says, I couldn't give her those words without being totally, completely honest with her. And after the way she looked at me at the lake, the utter betrayal. And that's when she wakes up.
Yes, and that's when she wakes up.
Okay, did you freak out and think that she lost her memories?
100%. I was like, she doesn't know who he is.
I was like, no, fuck no, please. Please no, please not this trope.
I really thought this in this one. I was like, oh my God, she doesn't know who he is. Oh, fucking Christ.
Oh my
God. I literally was like, what if she's like, where, aren't I a scribe?
Like, I have a dragon?
Am I a Raja? Oh God. I'm so happy that didn't happen. Okay,
oh my God,
so,
okay.
Then pretty much she remembers and she's mad still.
She's mad and she's still, and she has to like re-remember that Liam died, and she's like, leave me alone. Like, just give me a minute. I need to change, like, blah, blah, blah. So he like gives her space, and then he comes back in. Oh, Christina, can I read? I just have to read. It's like 2 paragraphs, but like, it's
read it.
Beautiful.
Read it all.
Okay. He's like, you might not trust me anymore, but you still love me. And she says, I gave you my trust for free once. Once is all you get. And he says, I fucked up by not telling you sooner, and I won't even try to justify my reasons. But now I'm trusting you with my life and with everyone's lives. I've risked it all by just bringing her here instead of taking her body back to the sky. This is like his inner monologue. And he says, I'll tell you anything you want to know and everything you don't. I'll spend every single day of my life earning back your trust. And then he's in his mind, he says, I'd forgotten what it felt like to be loved, really, truly loved. It'd been so many years since Dad died. And Mom, not going there, he says to himself. But then Violet gave me those words, gave me her trust, her heart, and I remembered. I'll be damned if I don't fight to keep them.
This, that, I couldn't.
I know. Wait, so he goes, you still love me. It's possible. I'm not afraid of hard work, especially not when I know just how sweet the rewards are. I would rather lose this entire war than live without you. And if that means I have to prove myself over and over, then I'll do it. You gave me your heart and I'm keeping it.
Oh my God. That speech is so incredible. We get so many things. He's so sweet and lovely to her. And then he's like, no, it's like the flip, right? Because when she was like, no, I love you and you can't tell me that I can't love you. And now he's like, no, I have your heart and I am keeping it. And I know you love me.
And I'm going to work every single day.
All of those sweet emotions. But then him saying the, like, I'd forgotten what it felt like to be loved.
Which is like what we were saying earlier about like, he doesn't know how to feel that. He was so little when it was taken from him.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, so that all happened.
But then the bomb of all bombs is dropped.
Yep.
So somebody's like banging at the door and he's like, fuck, is he impatient? And he's like, you have about 20 seconds to ask a question if I know him. She blinks. I'm still hoping that missive at Athbine was really about the war games. Do you think there's any chance we just happen to end up in the middle of a Wyvern attack at that outpost? The next sentence. That definitely wasn't an accident, little sister. I sigh and move to the side. And he's like, told you I knew better, Poison Masters. You weren't healed. You were mended. Brennan?
Brennan?
because remember the Poison Master back when she's poisoning people.
Wait, so then the last line.
Oh, the last line. He goes, Brennan just grins and opens his arms. Welcome to the revolution, Violet.
Yes! This ending, I loved it. I did not think he was going to be alive. I did not think that was an option at all. Oh my gosh. And it's so fun because she does sprinkle in letting us get to know him from this journal for Mira, the letters and the sweetness. Because if that wasn't there, I would be like, oh, like, I don't feel, I mean, I know she misses him, but I don't feel as connected to him. And I feel like I was through that
because
journal,
of that.
You know?
Yeah. Because he was like, you saw that he was a caring brother who was like trying to help his sister.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be really important to help with her forgiving Zayden because Brennan will be there.
Absolutely. Because he is going to help. You're so right.
Yes.
Because also, one of the big things that I keep going back to in this moment is him saying, fuck if he's impatient. You have about 20 seconds to ask a question if I know him. As in, like, I know this person very well.
Yeah.
Like, if I know him. Like, that's what, like me saying, Anna will definitely not be good about spoilers if I know her. Like,
nope.
You know what I mean? Like, this
totally.
Is his friend.
Okay, which also means then all this time when he's like, leave her to me, she's mine, like, I handle her the way I want to handle her. Like, Zayden has, if he actually knows Brennan and they're good friends, then he has to know that, like, not all Soren Gales are bad.
Totally.
Which is why I think it makes sense why he so quickly was able to, like, let go of the fact that, like, Soren Gales are partly responsible for his parents' death and, like, stuff.
Well, I wonder if it was that at all. Like, I wonder if he was just like, oh, this is the part I have to play the whole time. But the whole time he was like, oh, no, I told Brennan I was going to watch out for her. Like, I just have to play this part because I have a reputation to uphold here.
Yes.
But actually, like, I'm looking out for her for Brennan.
Yeah.
My friend told me to look out for his sister, you know?
I'm wondering how Brennan... Okay, so we know Brennan died and we know that Taryn, or I'm guessing, because it was Taryn's rider...
Oh, right.
Who tried to save Brennan.
And gave up his magic?
And gave up his magic trying
to, like... drained himself.
Which makes, to me personally, sounds like they were in love.
Oh.
Why else would you literally drain yourself trying to save someone?
That was in the lesson, right? That was in the class.
Yeah, he said it's because who wouldn't want to save, the Soren Gale general or whatever.
Yes, because I remember that's what I thought, too. And I was like, wait, so was this, a romantic?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it was like someone was trying to look good to your mom, pretty much.
Which then I'm like, so, okay, I have a couple questions. One, does Brennan still have his dragon? Did his dragon die and that's why he almost died? Or did he just almost die, but maybe he never actually almost died? And it was like a ruse so that he could, you know, go be a part of the revolution or something.
Yeah, I'm confused where they met. I'm confused, like, how he actually, like, fake died and how no one knew. And how he got... Where are they again? Like, when she wakes up?
They're in I think they're in the old town that was in Tirindor that was supposedly, like, burned down
right.
or something. They're, like, in some... Like, oh,
it's
I
crazy.
Well... I don't have the map because I have the Kindle version, and the map is apparently only...
Oh, right. We should discuss this, listeners. So, you remember in last episode, we were like, there's no map. And I was like, I think there's a map.
I was very like, no, there's no map. It's because the Kindle version does not have the map. It is so freaking annoying. It's only in the physical copy of the book, which I don't have because it's back ordered for like a month.
Well, and I was like, isn't there a map? Because I do have the physical copy, but I read it on my Kindle. I just have the physical copy because I just want to have books.
I would have loved to. I should have I need a picture of that map. You need to send me a picture or a photo because I am still confused.
I will. So when we were together this past weekend in Nashville for our girls weekend, I brought Fourth Wing to take pictures of the physical book and we're like just opened it at some point, looked at it, and I was like, there is a map.
There's a map.
I looked at it. And I was like, it's in the physical copy. Oh, that was funny.
I love a map and it's very helpful for me. I'm a very visual person and it was driving me crazy.
So funny.
I literally was trying to draw a map in my brain and anyways, it doesn't matter. Okay.
So good.
So,
yeah, what a journey.
It was just so much fun. I had such a blast reading this book.
I loved so many aspects of
yes.
it. You know, as a whole, there were some things that bothered me, as we said, like little nitpicky things, but everything I love trumped them.
All right.
Okay, so until next time, be sure to follow us at Flights of Fantasy Podcast on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading!
Cheers, listeners! Yay!
Cheers! Bye!